going to try and deal during this hour with kind of like holding Jell-O in your hands, the New Age movement. It's hard to deal with just getting a basic definition of the New Age movement. So amorphous, so ever-changing, so accommodating to all the moods and swings of society, and so old and so new, it's hard to even get a definition of the thing, the New Age movement. Maybe the best thing to do is to talk to someone who's had a little experience in it, who's come out of it, and who can offer a critique of the New Age movement on that basis. We're going to be talking about a new Vatican statement on the New Age movement. It came out of the Pontifical Council for Culture and the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. It's called Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life, a Christian reflection on the New Age. And we'll start out with the definition of the New Age during this hour of issues, etc. Our guest, Father Mitch Pacwa, founder of Ignatius Productions, based in Lincoln, Alabama, host of EWTN Live, and author of the book Catholics and the New Age, is our guest. Father Pacwa, welcome to Issues, etc.
Thank you very much. Nice to be talking to you.
Tell us about your personal experience with the New Age movement, and then, if you can, give us a basic definition of the New Age movement.
Sure. My own involvement came back in the early 1970s, before the movement even took on the name New Age Movement, but it was already starting to form out of the hippy-dippy kind of people that I was and hung around. And the main reason, and I talk about this in my book, the main motive for me to start to be interested was I had seen a murder of a friend of mine back in 1970, and I had nightmares for months. No, afterwards, well over a year. And I started reading the psychologist known best for dream interpretation, Carl Jung. And he didn't help with the dreams at all. But he did give this perspective of using psychology to understand the occult and using the occult to understand psychology. And I figured, well, Carl Jung is a great psychologist. He's a scientist. And so this is not really a cult in the superstitious way, but this is some sort of scientific analysis of the occult. So I didn't think too much of it as a problem. And that was my first introduction to the New Age movement. And then, as I was in college, again, back in the early 70s, I started in the late 60s, but early 70s, when I got involved with this nonsense, we had a number of even teachers. A physics professor who taught astronomy also believed in astrology and mentioned that. And other teachers I had were, taught me how to do astrology. And I figured, well, this is just, again, science, right? And so that was how I got started in the New Age movement. That was my main vehicle for introduction to it.
And how far did it go for you? How deep did you go into what is now known as the New Age movement?
I think I got out before it was super deep, but it was deep enough to be a problem. For my own spiritual life, I don't think I at all realized how serious it was until I started to make the move to get out of it. And that came through a number of students that I had who were involved in the charismatic renewal. And they, they wanted to pray every day. And that motivated me to take more time for prayer myself. And at a certain point, I had to realize that either I am going to keep seeking this state of consciousness that the New Age offered, because I was practicing various forms of yoga and some Zen, in which the goal is to attain a certain state of consciousness in which you empty your mind and become free of your ego. And either I was going to focus on the person of Christ, or I was going to seek this psychological state. And I thank God constantly that I sought Christ rather than the state of mind.
Define the New Age movement. I know it is very difficult to define. It is so broad, but if you could give a single paragraph.
I think that there are four main elements. The reason it's so difficult is because the first part of the definition is that it's a movement, not an organization. And so it's very eclectic. It has all kinds of fads. And the movement, it's as a whole, moves from one fad to another. So crystals was really big in the 80s. And then channeling was also very big. But then the channelers sort of faded out, and angels came in. Angels have kind of faded a bit, and, you know, various alternative healing things. And why do they keep going from one fad to another? Ultimately, all of them fail to satisfy their spiritual need. But they keep trying. So that's the first thing. It's a movement, not an organization. And I disagree with those who say that it's some sort of cult organization. It's not. The second part of the definition is that what characterizes the movement, three things. First, a belief that everything is one being. This is a philosophy called monism, from the Greek word monos, one. Everything looks like it's different, and each person and each physical reality looks to be different, but in fact it's all one. And you just have to alter your state of consciousness to experience the oneness of everything. Second part of the definition, this one being is God. That means that everything is God, and that is called pantheism in philosophy and theology, that everything is God. And so you just have to realize that everything is God, and therefore everything is good, and from that come the worst of the New Age ideologies, in particular the idea that since everything is God, everything is good, therefore there is no such thing as sin. So that's an extraordinarily dangerous doctrine on their part. The last part of the definition is that they believe that there is a new age, the age of Aquarius. You might, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the song, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
When the moon is in the southern house and Jupiter aligns with Mars.
Right.
Yes.
And see, what is that about? What are they talking about there? It's very simple. The belief is that there's a stellar age that lasts about 2,000 years. It's based on a little bit of physics. You know how the axis of the Earth is tilted? Whenever you see a globe, the axis is tilted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that tilt also indicates a spin. You know when you spin a top, and the top spins, and it goes at an angle, especially as it loses, the more it loses energy, the bigger the angle is, right? And so that the Earth does exactly the same thing, that the Earth spins like a top on its axis, but the axis of the top moves around, and so does the axis of the Earth. It takes 26,000 years for the axis of the Earth to move completely around. That is what they're talking about by the dawning of the age of Aquarius. The axis of the Earth is going to start pointing at the sign Aquarius over the next few years. They don't know when because it's not precise. But the axis of the Earth will point to the constellation Aquarius, and that will be the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Okay? So that's what that is. It's just that simple. It's nothing very complex, but they make out of it a whole religious sense that I don't think is very good sense. Part of this new age, then, is as the axis of the Earth points at Aquarius, the water bearer, and that's where that title of that document comes from. Aquarius is the water bearer, and they believe that in the time of Aquarius, Christianity would be gone because Pisces, the symbol that has been around for the last couple thousand years, Pisces is symbolized by two fish, right? And Jesus is symbolized by a fish, right? Therefore, Pisces is the astrological sign of Christ, and therefore, Christ's time is over because we're going out of Pisces. The axis to the Earth is not pointing at Pisces, and it's going to point to Aquarius, and that's going to be a water sign. So that's what they mean by all this stuff.
So in other words, we've got basically four things that are important to, in the general sense, to understand the New Age movement. Number one, it's a movement, it's not an organization.
Right.
Number two, it is taught that everything is one being.
Right.
That this one being is, in fact, God.
Uh-huh, and God is everything.
And finally, that there is a New Age dawning, and you just gave us kind of the astrological explanation for how they
right.
come to this, an age of Aquarius in which Christianity will be passé, and this New Age... is it too strong to say religion will then dominate humanity?
Yeah, though you got to admit, on their terms, they don't like to call it religion because you'll see this all the time. I'm not into religion, I'm into spirituality. That is a standard line by the New Agers, that they don't want to say that they're a religion. This is just spirituality, not organized religion. So that would be their own self-definition.
But... by your definition, Father Pacwa,
yes.
would you say that the New Age movement, even in its barest bones you've outlined for us here, represents a religion distinct from Christianity?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, without hesitation. It's very distinct from Christianity, and it is a religion. But here's another thing about it. I mentioned before how this is composed of all kinds of fads, right? And... people, have you ever heard of a New Age martyr?
No.
Of course not. Because before they would die for their faith, they change it. And these folks are very happy to quit something, not because of persecution for it, but because they're bored with it. So, you know, it's a religion that is does not have any strong commitment. Now that is for certain, and it's too superficial. And so it is a religious movement, you know, in the general sense of religious philosophy. But you know, they don't like to call it that, and they certainly don't act as if they're committed to it, because they're not.
All right, now we've got our definition.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a few moments about the document the Vatican has issued.
Yeah.
What is the nature of this report called Jesus Christ, the bearer of the water of life, a Christian reflection on the New Age? What's the nature of the report?
Well, first of all, notice the title, that Jesus Christ is the bearer of the water of life. They're playing with Aquarius, the water bearer. But he just brings, you know, in the mythical water, well, Jesus Christ is the one who bears the water of life, because in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus told the woman at the well that you would come to me and you would draw living water. And so Christ is the source of that living water of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they're doing with it. What is going on in the document is that they're trying to give a definition of the New Age movement. And in addition to defining it, they're also giving a warning against it. The reason for the timing of this, you know, say the New Age movement has been around for the last 25 years or so. Why are they waiting so long? Well, for one reason, the New Age movement has been an American phenomenon, an English-speaking world phenomenon for the most part. But now the New Age movement has grown worldwide. So the church is saying, since this is such a global phenomenon, and even though people don't have a strong commitment to it, they do dabble in it all over the world. And bookstores, you know, you go to any one of the big chain bookstores, and you'll see usually a very large New Age section. Not because they're part of some New Age conspiracy, but because it sells books. And so people buy this stuff, and that's true all over the world. Latin America, I've traveled a fair amount, and it's true in Israel, it's true in Singapore, Australia, all over the world, New Age stuff is big. And, you know, so the church is saying we have to reflect on this. This movement is trying to get at two things in the human spirit. One, people like to deal with something they can experience. But and so it's talking about a very human set of experiences, and that's part of the attraction of the New Age movement. But at the same time, the church has to warn people that this is a pseudo-spirituality, and it gets confused for something deeper, something more personal. In the New Age movement, you go after different forces, whereas in Christianity, you are invited by God's grace to a relationship with the tri-personal God. The one God we believe in is three persons, a community. And we are called to relate to that community, to be in that personal relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The New Agers say, no, you are God. You just have to realize you're God and just go from one experience to another, and you'll realize more and more of your own divinity. That's pseudo, and that's what this document is trying to warn about, that pseudo approach to God in the New Age movement.
Now, you said this is a fad-driven movement. I want to come back to that with some particular examples, like the one that is so popular nowadays is feng shui. I want to get to that in a second. But before we get to the particulars, I want to tease apart some of the cosmology, the anthropology of the New Age movement in general. What does the New Age movement say about the human person?
Yeah, there are some very odd things. On one hand, it seems as if they are talking about the human person as something very noble, that your divine self, and the document talks about this, they got this down very nicely, that your divine self or your higher self is your real self. And that this is a way for your personality to acquire lots of knowledge. And as you go from one life to another, because very big in the New Age movement is the belief in reincarnation, and that your consciousness carries with it this set of experiences and helps you progress in a personal evolution. And it sounds, well, you know, this is something very cool because it sounds so exalted. And you will eventually realize that you are God and that you have this great power. And so people are attracted to that concept. And this document from the Vatican is warning about that kind of attraction, because this is also a pseudo-human dignity. See, while it looks ennobling on one hand, in reality, it's saying, look, life is a time just to gather experiences. And don't take it too seriously, because you'll come back again and again until you have the full awareness of your divinity. Christianity, you know, first of all, teaches very clearly that there is no such thing as reincarnation. Can I respond to that, a question that I hear all the time?
Oh, sure.
You'll hear New Agers say, now wait a minute, in the New Testament, there were all these passages that were about reincarnation, and the Council of Nicaea took them out. I had a guy call me about this. I've heard it a lot, because it's an idea that came from Madame Blavatsky, who started the Theosophical movement, that's kind of the ancestor of the New Age movement. And they say, well, you Christians took all those passages out. And I have two responses to that. First, I have a copy of the documents in Greek and Latin and in English from the Council of Nicaea, all the documents there. And I read them to the guy that called me, saying, there's nothing here that says anything about taking any parts of the Bible out. The Council of Nicaea didn't do that. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I meant the Second Council of Constantinople. So I have those in Latin, Greek, and English too. And I said, there's nothing here about that. There's nothing about that in any council. And secondly, not only is there nothing in our council about taking parts out of the New Testament, that would have been horrendous, and that's totally contradictory to Christianity. Secondly, we have 6,000 fragments and complete copies of the New Testament from ancient times, some going back to at least the second century, if not controverted, but maybe the first century too. And if you take a look at all of those fragments, 6,000, show me a single document from any part of the world in any translation of the New Testament in ancient times that has anything about reincarnation. It's not there. What the gospel, what we see in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27 is, you die once, and then comes the judgment. That's what the New Testament teaches. You die once. And what that means, going back to our original topic here about human dignity, is that you are an integral person, body and soul. God takes you seriously. You don't get to keep coming back and forth as if your experiences weren't enough or something. God takes everything that we do, every word that we say, and he takes us so seriously and with so much acceptance of us on our own terms that this is the only life in which he judges us. We are not souls migrating from one body to another. I am this person in this body with this particular set of experiences. This is who I am. This is who God called me to be. I was created for this time in history, not to keep coming back. And this is it's a false understanding of human dignity to say that you are reincarnated again and again. That is, matter of fact, ironically, but from the New Age standard, it means that you don't have to take yourself seriously. New Agers say, and this I don't know where they started picking this up, but I hear this and I read it in their literature, that, you know, I used to be a nun or a monk in a past lifetime, and in this lifetime, it's my opportunity to have a lot more sexual fun. So I'm going to fool around a lot to make up for when I was a nun. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Now let's pick up on that when we come back. That goes to the problem, the man's basic problem, according to the New Age, and we'll pick up on that subject when we come back. We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa. He's founder of Ignatius Productions, based in Lincoln, Alabama, host of EWTN Live, and author of the book Catholics and the New Age. You can purchase that book and other resources by Father Pacwa by calling Ignatius Productions toll-free at 1-866-289-7936. The number again, toll-free, 1-866-289-7936. We're talking about the New Age movement, in particular, the new Vatican statement on the New Age movement that was issued just last week. It's called Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life, a Christian Reflection on the New Age, and our guest, Father Mitch Pacwa. When we come back, what is man's basic problem, according to the New Age movement? How does that stack up against what Holy Scripture teaches about man's basic problem? Who is God, and is there any concept of salvation in the New Age movement? Why is it so popular? That's what I want to know. When it catches the attention of the Vatican, and they've given it thorough consideration, you think it's probably something worth taking note of. We'll be right back.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I receive, review, and read a lot of books in preparation for the broadcast hours of Issues, Etc. Sad to say, some of what Christian publishing produces isn't worth reading, but some is. That's why we have the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February is Testing the Claims of Church Growth. You can order the book by calling Concordia Publishing House during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February, Testing the Claims of Church Growth. You can also order the book online. Go to our Issues, Etc. website at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and there you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House. The book, Testing the Claims of Church Growth. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. 1-800-325-3040.
People groups. Now, how did they form?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the best-selling book, The Lie Evolution. Well, Ken, when you look around the world, we see many people groups that are distinguished by certain characteristics such as eye shape, skin color, and so on. But how these groups all form?
To answer this question, let's first of all think about how we obtained our domestic varieties of dogs. We know that all dogs are the same kind, but there are tremendous variations within the dog kind. This variability is inbuilt in the genes of dogs created by God when He made the dog kind. Now, as each dog is born, it has a unique combination of information that makes it a little different from every other dog, but it's still a dog. What we do is select certain dogs to breed together so we can concentrate particular genes together in one group. Thus, we end up with different breeds of dogs. Now, with the human population, to get the various groups with the features that characterize a particular group, we would need to split up the human population and isolate particular groups. You know, the Bible actually tells us how this separation of groups happened. It was the Tower of Babel. You see, the book of Genesis makes sense of the world.
For more fascinating evidence that the Bible has the only explanation for the origin of different people groups, read Ken Ham's free booklet on this exciting topic. You'll find some fascinating information on our website, AnswersRadio.com. You can read Ken Ham's free booklet on races right on your computer screen, or download it and print it out. Just go to AnswersRadio.com.
Good afternoon, 5:31 at AM 850 KFUO. Weather for St. Louis, cloudy overnight with a chance of snow, low of about 21. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a continued chance for snow, high of about 42. And right now, mostly cloudy and 35 in St. Louis. Our last look at St. Louis traffic. Westbound 40 is heavy but moving from Hampton to Hanley. Also heavy McKnight to Lindbergh. Normal heavy traffic expected on northbound 270 at the 70 exits. Southbound 270 between Olive and Ladue Road, there's some slow traffic there. Westbound 44 is slow between Guyer and 270 in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Union Station and the Poplar Street Bridge, there's some slow traffic there. Also northbound 55 between Park Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge, slow traffic in the right lane. That's traffic and weather on AM 850 KFUO. I'm Craig Allen.
AM 850 KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Monday, February 10th, 2003, Mary Schultz. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to AM 850 KFUO in loving memory of Pastor Donald Schultz, who served his Lord faithfully as a shepherd for 40 years and then entered the kingdom of God triumphantly on February 10th, 2001. Once again, we say thank you to Mary Schultz of Redbud, Illinois, today's AM 850 KFUO day sponsor.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our guest in this hour is host of EWTN Live. And by the way, coming up on February the 19th, Father Pacwa will be hosting EWTN Live and have as his guest Archbishop Justin Regali. The topic for discussion will be Divine Mercy. That's February the 19th on EWTN Live. Father Pacwa, we were talking about the nature of man according to the New Age movement. Before we move on to the nature of God, what is man's problem, if any, according to the New Age movement?
Man's problem is very simple. We don't realize how good we already are. We only realize that everything would be hunky-dory. I'm sorry to laugh. I can't help it. Because some of this stuff is so ridiculous. When you keep in mind that the woman who came up with the term New Age was, as far as I'm concerned, morally obscene. She said in July 1949, just before she died, that, you know, the Jews had what happened to them in the concentration camps coming because they had bad national karma. But in the New Age, they'll be reincarnated, and they will have a much more positive outlook after they've gone through this. Now, I find that completely obscene, you know, that the Jews did not have what happened to them coming to them. That's just simply untrue. And to say such a horrific thing is, the best I can just call it, is obscene. And yet, for the New Ager, this is something that, you know, would seem, well, yeah, it could be. And this is a major problem that we have with, you know, the, what do you call it, the New Age movement. The problem is not just that you know what is wrong. You know, for instance, they think that if you realize your own divinity, then you will be able to create whatever reality you want for yourself. If you don't realize your own divinity, you still are God, and you create a negative vibration reality for yourself. So all you have to do to fix life is realize you're God and create good thoughts, positive thoughts, that create a positive reality, and then it's all set. Well, you know, life is not like that. And, you know, you take a look at the evil that exists in the world. You know, certainly I look back on my own stupidity in this movement and wonder how, after having seen a friend of mine murdered, I could accept some of this superficial nonsense. But, you know, there are just ways to convince yourself of being dumb, and I did it. I think that the danger of the New Age movement comes from this kind of belief in divinity and the denial of morality, or excuse me, the denial of sin, the denial of evil. That then doesn't just create a reality that is beautiful, but rather what it does is create the possibility that I don't have to obey Christian, Judeo-Christian morality. I'll give you two examples of that. Two doctors, one in New Jersey, one here in Alabama, had said, well, I do abortions because I'm just helping the baby go to a better incarnation so that you can justify whatever it is you want. And that, you know, that becomes horrific. And if, or as Swami Muktananda is quoted in, as saying, don't criticize Hitler and Stalin. After all, they are God too. This, to me, is an extraordinarily dangerous approach. You can't consider that what Hitler and Stalin did to be good. This was evil, and we have to call it evil when it's evil. And then we need to turn to Christ as the way to find the only way to the Father that takes us out of that way of evil and gives us the grace to be able to do what's right. So, and this is something that they have no concept of. They don't like the notion of salvation because it means you're not saved already. They deny original sin because it means that you have sin. They don't want, and they'll say quite explicitly, don't worship Christ, because if you worship him, then you stop yourself from becoming God. Well, that's just nonsense. And so, and I think very dangerous nonsense.
So in other words, someone who says God has definitively revealed himself once and for all in the incarnate Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that his person and work, his sacrificial death at the cross,
mm-hmm.
shows us beyond a shadow of a doubt not only who God is, but how he will deal with us in our sinful predicament,
yeah.
by means of his undeserved mercy.
Yeah.
The New Ager will say that kind of thinking is actually harmful to you because you're failing to realize that you are God. You're making
right.
God something outside yourself.
Right. And you're worshiping someone else's God instead of becoming God yourself. And to paraphrase an old-time spiritual, that the one that applies here is, give me that old-time temptation. It was good enough for Adam, it's good enough for me. Because what happened to Adam and Eve, especially when the serpent spoke to Eve, is that if you eat this fruit, you shall become gods, and your eyes will be opened. You know, that sounds awfully familiar to me. And it's the kind of temptation that got the human race into this tremendous predicament of trying to be what we are not. Whereas, as a matter of fact, I one of the shows I do here is called Threshold of Hope. It's a program in which I go through Pope John Paul's encyclicals. And this absolutely marvelous reflection that the Pope gives on the prodigal son is that what the father is doing in opening his arms to receive the son and in the rejoicing is that he not only forgives his sin, but he's preserving that son's dignity as a son. The son said, I only deserve to be a servant and work for you. But the father's forgiveness preserves his dignity as a son, a part of the family. And it also preserves God's fatherhood. This is what God is doing to us. He's not telling us to pretend that we are God, but rather he's saying, no, I love you as human beings, and I take your humanity seriously, and by forgiving you, I'm not making you grovel. I'm instead cherishing who you are and restoring you back to the dignity I gave you when I created you, and that you lost by sin, but my son has regained for you at the cross. That is the good news of Christianity. The New Age tries to create a pseudo-dignity for human beings, and that pseudo-dignity will also not only undercut your own divinity and will undercut the possibility of being in a community with anybody else, and furthermore, I fear that people can end up in hell believing this nonsense and doing the immorality that the New Age movement condones.
The cosmic Christ, this is a section that's addressed here in the Vatican document regarding the New Age. What is the New Age cosmic Christ?
Well, see, in fact, the cosmic Christ is something that was most especially put out by a guy named Matthew Fox. Matthew Fox was a Dominican priest. He was dismissed from the Dominican order and left the Catholic Church and joined the Episcopal Church. And he's presently, at least the last I heard, he's a priest at the cathedral, Episcopal Cathedral of San Francisco. His idea was, we have to get rid of original sin. He claims Saint Augustine invented the doctrine of original sin. And instead of original sin, we need to believe in original blessing. That since God said everything he made was good, and therefore it's all blessed, we just believe in the original blessing of humanity, and Christ is not a redeemer, according to Matthew Fox. Christ doesn't save us from sin because original sin is simply St. Augustine's idea. And therefore, we will believe in a cosmic Christ. And when he starts talking about cosmic Christ, he has this very vague notion of what that means. It seems to be that the earth is the cosmic Christ, which is dying in pollution, but can be raised up again by our efforts in the ecological movement. That's one of his teachings. The cosmic Christ seems to be the whole universe. And it's kind of a vague idea that Christ is simply this, I don't know what else to call it, except this overarching image that in some way is present in Jesus of Nazareth. But you don't worry about the historical Christ. You worry about the cosmic influence and come to experience, you know, the divine in the creation itself.
And so your goal would be to not have any kind of personal union or relationship with anything objective like this cosmic Christ, but to realize that you too partake in the cosmic Christ as part of divinity.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Now, let's get into some particulars before our time winds down.
And by the way, just so nobody is confused, you know, we definitely have to admit that St. Augustine did not invent the doctrine of original sin, okay? Just so that nobody, you know, has that idea that St. Augustine was doing that. That's just not true at all. So, and a lot of other things, unfortunately, I have a chapter on Matthew Fox in my book because I found so many things in terms of just the plain data. Besides disagreeing with him, his data is simply wrong. And the fathers of the church, long before St. Augustine, believed in it. And then if you go to St. Paul, you know, it's we have all fallen short of the glory of God in Romans chapter 3. So that I think that we have to dismiss this idea that St. Augustine invented original sin.
You said this was a fad-driven movement, and,
yeah.
And you've stated several times that their so-called faith or their beliefs change as times necessitate. One of the latest ones that we hear a lot about, and it seems to be such a harmless thing, furniture arrangement to achieve spiritual balance, feng shui.
Right.
Father Packwell, what exactly is it, and does it fall within the realm of the New Age movement with all the attendant dangers?
Yeah, here's the thing about feng shui. First of all, it does come from the Chinese occult, all right? It is part of something that is there, and the document mentions that it comes from deciphering the hidden presence of positive and negative currents in buildings and other places, all right? Now, what does that come from? It comes from a worldview that that is basically from Taoism. Taoism believes that there's a yin and a yang energy that permeates the whole universe. And feng shui is a method of deciphering what is positive, what's negative, and being able to organize a room so that everything is in balance. Now, you know, I can't be overly critical because I can barely keep the letters and the envelopes in my room together, yet alone the positive and negative forces. I'm a creator of chaos in every room I go to, so I'm not good at decorating or anything like that at all. I'm terrible, and I have no objection to decorating a room. The problem of something like feng shui, and again, I also think this: a lot of people who are practicing feng shui are simply using their own innate sense of balance or decoration. I don't know. But the problem is when you try to so focus on finding the yin-yang energy, the qi energy, or qi. That's in Chinese it's called qi energy, or qi in Japanese. And you see this not only in feng shui, that's just one manifestation of it. Reiki is a method of healing by manipulating the positive negative qi forces by waving your hands over people. And Tai Chi comes from the same perspective. And I don't care if people do certain exercises, but what I am concerned about is when they start to focus on positive and negative vibrations and think that they need to control that. And that's all that life is about. Whereas, as a Christian, I know that I have various impulses to sin, and I have to learn to avoid those. That is the most basic issue. How do I avoid the impulses to sin? How do I turn to Christ as the source of help, the source of being he who overcame temptation in the wilderness when the devil was in front of him? Is the one I want to turn to for the negative influence of Satan, the effects of the world, and my own ego, and ask Christ to heal that. That's what's concerned, and I'm really more nervous about people looking to some other kind of force that would be like Star Wars, the Force, this basically neutral thing that can change to positive or negative, as opposed to something that has its truth or falsehood, its goodness or evil, depending on whether or not it's obeying God or disobeying God.
We're talking about the new Vatican statement on the New Age movement. Our guest, Father Mitch Packwa, founder of Ignatius Productions, based in Lincoln, Alabama, host of EWTN Live, and author of the book Catholics in the New Age. You can check out his website at fathermitchpackwa.org. That's Father, M-I-T-C-H-P-A-C-W-A.org. Or you can order any of his resources, including his book, Catholics in the New Age, by calling Ignatius Productions, toll-free, 1-866-289-7936, 1-866-289-7936. Alternative medicine, you just mentioned very briefly one form of alternative medicine. The other forms of alternative medicine that are so popular nowadays, do they dabble in the presuppositions of the New Age?
Some of them do, some do not. And here's the thing. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and you know I need medicine to be able to even move or walk. And I'm taking part in a four-year medical study right now, and the medicine I'm using works terrifically. But we'll see if there are any side effects. And since I don't, you know, I'm not married, and I don't have any children, and won't. You know, this is, I'm a good guinea pig. You know, I'm happy to offer myself for that. And the relief is great. What I would ask of any New Age medicine is the same kind of rigor in testing it. I would urge people to, not to say that all alternative medicine is necessarily evil. It's not. But neither is it all good. What you have to do with medicine is check out, through double-blind testing, what works and what does not. Use what works and find out why it works, too. You know, what's the factor in it? There's no problem with that. But here's where, you know, my father was a used car salesman, and one of the things that you do in the business is you always have a shill. You know, you put out there, buy this 1995 spanking new-looking car for only $500. Now, what you do is you sell it to some guy who works there at your garage before anybody gets there that day, okay? But everybody's going to come and see if they can get it first. And then you show them the other cars that are still for sale. Well, that's what's going on with the New Age medicine. You say, look, I've got a cure for this, that, or the other thing. Come and try this. It worked for me. And then, oh, it didn't work for you. I'm sorry. I tell you what. Let's go back to your past lives. We'll do some hypnosis. And we'll find out what happened in your past lives. And then we'll see what else. And that's the come on. You get people started looking for an alternative healing process, and with the price of medicine, the problem that people have of finding a doctor they like and trust, having insurance and all this, the alternative medicine seems to be an inexpensive way to take care of your body, which is a good thing. But I'm just really concerned that it's a shill. I've come across this so often that people will do things, and some of the things they have are even harmful. For instance, one guy was promoting crystal elixir. Let your crystals soak in water, then drink the water, and you imbibe the energy of the crystal. Well, you got to realize, one of the elements that is present in a number of crystals is arsenic. And I don't care how much you have a positive mental attitude, if you start drinking something that has arsenic in it, that arsenic is going to come into your system. Now, it's usually not much, it's trace elements, but it's something that, you know, can be dangerous, or some of these other medicines can be very dangerous. The worst case was one written up in Lancet, the British medical journal. Two doctors had a cure for AIDS. They belonged to a holistic movement of Ayurvedic medicine, it was called, Ayurvedic medicine. Came from one of the swamis that was going around the world. And this was supposed to be a cure for AIDS. They had a picture of a guy who was cured of AIDS. He was putting on weight, looking healthier. What they didn't say is by the time that picture was published, the guy was dead. And what was inside each capsule were some funguses, and some fungi, some herbs, and dried human excrement. And that's not good for somebody whose autoimmune system is already impaired. And so they died of it. Now, that is horrendous. That's the worst case that I know of. But you just got to be careful that when you're using these alternative medicines, it really works and it's not going to do you harm.
With only 30 seconds before we've got to go, Father Pacwa, in harmony with the new Vatican document, what is your basic concern and warning about the New Age movement?
All right. Don't go for the temptation that Satan gave Adam and Eve, that they can become gods. You're not going to become God, but you can become a child of God by adoption in Christ Jesus. This is the promise that God offers you, and that this will be the real article. The other attempts to become what you are not are counterfeit. Don't fall for the counterfeit. Accept that free gift from God by the faith that he gives you and the graces that he pours out upon you, and trust in him. That would be my most basic call to anybody, not to get involved in New Age nonsense.
Father Mitch Pacwa, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
Folks, if you'd like to purchase a cassette copy of this discussion on the New Age movement for a cost of $6.50, or if you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues Etc. journal, or if you'd like to make a donation to Issues Etc., we would appreciate it. You call our automated resource line. It's 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. I think Father Pacwa has made the case quite well, don't you, that the real danger of the New Age movement is not that it would necessarily lead you astray or waste your time. It certainly will do that. You could spend a lot of time configuring rock gardens, arranging your furniture, contorting your body into strange positions, trying to align your chakras, placing crystals on your head, carrying them around in your pocket. Who knows what you want to do? Colossal waste of time and money. But that's not the biggest danger. The biggest danger is that it is simply one more form of the old lie. The lie that Satan told Adam and Eve, you will not die, you will be like God. The Christian message is very different. Yes, because of our sin and rebellion, we deserve to die. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. But it wasn't up to us to become like God. God became like us in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, like us in every way, yet without sin. And without sin, like us in every way, even subject to our temptations, yet without sin, he made the perfect obedience and sacrifice of his own life on the cross, where he shed his blood for you. That's God becoming like us so that we might be adopted as sons. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.